Welcome back to the Clown Cast, episode 150. That's a number.
We're still here, 150 episodes of explaining real things using fake magic systems. What a time to be alive.
And today we're doing a sequel. Remember episode 126, Cool Under Pressure?
Yeah, where we talked about whether staying calm is actually good advice or if it's kind of like secretly dangerous.
Exactly. That episode asked the question. Today we're answering the follow-up nobody thinks to ask. What happens to your body after the pressure breaks? Because here's the thing. The moment of stress isn't what destroys people. It's what happens next. Or more accurately, what doesn't happen next.
Okay, ominous. I'm into it.
So let me introduce you to a concept. In 1988, two researchers named Stirling and Eyre coined a word, allostasis. It means achieving stability through change. Your body doesn't just sit at one fixed setting like a thermostat. It's constantly recalibrating. Heart rate, hormones, blood pressure, all of it, to meet whatever the environment is throwing at you.
So it's not like homeostasis, where everything wants to return to one number.
That's exactly the distinction they were making. Stirling and Eyre were actually criticizing homeostasis as a concept. They said your body doesn't have a fixed set point. It predicts what you're going to need and adjusts proactively. You're not a thermostat. You're a weather forecaster who also controls the weather.
That's a deeply unsettling amount of power for my body to have without telling me.
Right, but here's where it gets heavy. 5 years later, in 1993, a neuroscientist named Bruce McEwen teams up with Elliot Steller, and they coined the sequel term, allostatic load, and McEwen described it like a bank account. Every time your body activates that stress response, cortisol, adrenaline, noradrenaline flooding your system, that's a withdrawal, and allostatic load is the interest you're paying on that debt.
Oh no!
Oh yes, the cumulative wear and tear from repeatedly activating your stress systems. And the biomarkers are wild. We're talking cortisol, epinephrine, blood pressure, cholesterol, inflammation markers, blood sugar levels. Your body keeps a receipt for every stressful thing you've ever done and never properly recovered from.
My body is keeping receipts.
I don't even keep receipts. I throw those away at CVS like a normal person.
Your body is not throwing them away. Your body is filing them meticulously and charging you compound interest. And here's the key finding. The difference between elite performers and everyone else. It's not that elite performers don't get stressed. They absolutely do. The difference is how fast their systems return to baseline after the stress ends.
So it's not about being tougher. It's about bouncing back faster.
And I want to use a metaphor here that I think maps perfectly. You ever read Brandon Sanderson, The Stormlight Archive?
I've heard you talk about it enough that I feel like I have.
So in that world, there are these warriors called Knights Radiant, and they fuel their abilities by absorbing stormlight, this luminous energy that comes from massive storms. They breathe it in, and it lets them do extraordinary things. Heal wounds, alter gravity, create illusions. But here's the critical mechanic. Stormlight leaks, constantly. The moment you absorb it, it starts bleeding out of you. You're always losing charge.
So you're running on a depleting battery at all times.
Exactly. And different radiants hold stormlight at different efficiencies. Some burn through it in minutes. Others can hold it for hours. The ones who hold it longer, they can do more, sustain longer, survive more fights. And the only way to recharge is to go back to the storm. These massive, violent high storms that sweep across the continent on a regular cycle.
So the storm is what sleep? Recovery time.
The high storm is your mandatory recovery event, and the leak rate, how fast you bleed stormlight, that's your parasympathetic rebound. That's the scientific term for how quickly your nervous system shifts from fight mode to rest and restore mode after a stressor ends. And here's what the research shows. Elite performers have a dramatically better leak rate, not because they were born that way, but because they've trained it.
Hold on. You can train your leak rate. That's not just genetics.
This is one of the most important findings. There was a study on military special forces candidates. They measured something called heart rate variability, or HRV, which is basically how well your parasympathetic nervous system kicks in. The candidates, who were rated as having the highest stress tolerance by expert evaluators, they showed the greatest increase in parasympathetic tone after stressful events. Their bodies shifted into recovery mode almost immediately.
And the ones who washed out?
Impaired parasympathetic rebound. Their bodies stayed activated. The stress response just kept going, like a radiant whose stormlight won't stop leaking even after the fight is over, except instead of losing energy they're stuck in combat mode, burning fuel on nothing.
That's exhausting just to hear about.
And this is where I want to bring in a second metaphor, because I think it makes the training angle click. Think about ability cooldowns in any MOBA or MMO you've ever played.
Oh, I've played enough League of Legends to have opinions about cooldowns.
Perfect. So imagine two players have the exact same healing ability, same power, same effect. But one player has a 90-second cooldown and the other has a 12-hour cooldown. Over the course of a long game, who's going to survive more fights?
The 90-second person, obviously. They can heal way more often.
That's exactly what's happening with stress recovery. Navy SEAL, for example, use a technique called box breathing. 4 seconds in, 4 seconds hold, 4 seconds out, 4 seconds hold. Studies show it reduces cortisol by 25% and measurably increases HRV within 90 seconds. 90 seconds, that's their cooldown timer. Meanwhile, an untrained person hits the same stressor and their heal might not come off cooldown for hours or days.
So the SEAL didn't unlock a different ability. They just reduced the cooldown on the same one everyone has.
Exactly. And this is trainable. The vagus nerve. The nerve that controls your parasympathetic response. It's called the wanderer in Latin because it's the longest cranial nerve in your body. It connects your brain all the way down to your gut. And vagal tone, how effectively that nerve works, can be improved through deliberate practice. Breathwork, meditation, cold exposure. Recovery is a skill, not a personality trait.
Okay, so we talked about this a little bit in the meditation episode, right? Episode 103, the creative state theme.
Yeah, that's connected. And episode 119, the one about your brain pressure washing itself during sleep. The glymphatic system is literally one of the mechanisms that clears allostatic load overnight. And episode 141 about circadian rhythms. Disrupting your sleep cycle is one of the fastest ways to accumulate load because you're skipping your high storm. You're trying to fight without ever recharging.
So all these episodes have been building toward this one concept. Your recovery infrastructure matters more than your toughness.
And here's where it gets really interesting. Let me tell you about surgeons. Surgeons show the highest urinary cortisol levels among all medical professionals. Higher than ER docs. Higher than... get this. Higher than the patients they're operating on.
Wait. The surgeon is more stressed than the person whose chest is open.
Biochemically, yes, but here is the paradox. Surgeons also score the lowest on anxiety trait measures. Their bodies are screaming. Their minds aren't registering it. Years of practice have created what looks like resilience to perceived anxiety. They feel calm, but the cortisol is still doing its work. The biological cost is still being paid.
So they're like a radiant who's learned to fight through stormlight depletion without noticing they are almost empty.
That is exactly right. And that connects straight back to episode 126. Stay calm as advice implies you should suppress the stress response. But the surgeon isn't suppressing anything. The stress is fully active. They've just gotten so used to it they don't feel it. And the allostatic load is still accumulating.
So stay calm isn't regulation. It's just not noticing you're on fire.
Which brings me to the third metaphor. And this is the one that I think captures the darkest part of this research. You know Hunter x Hunter?
The anime where a 12-year-old goes on a deeply traumatizing adventure. Yes.
There is a power system called NAN, and it has this concept of vows and restrictions. The basic idea is, you can amplify your power dramatically, but only by placing severe limitations on yourself. The greater the restriction, the greater the power. And the most extreme example is Gon's transformation. He essentially trades his entire future, his lifespan, his potential, everything, for one moment of overwhelming power, and it nearly kills him.
Right. He aged like 30 years in 10 seconds and then was basically a husk.
That's allostatic load as an end vow. You can push your body beyond its limits. You can perform at extraordinary levels, but the bill comes due. And here's where the research gets genuinely heavy. There's a concept called the weathering hypothesis, studied extensively by Arline Geronimus. It shows that black Americans carry higher allostatic load at every age compared to white Americans. And here's the critical part. This disparity is not fully explained by poverty.
So it's not just an income thing?
No. The research specifically found that black Americans, who engage in what's called high-effort coping, meaning people performing at elite levels despite systemic barriers, show the greatest weathering. The physiological aging is accelerated. What we'd celebrate as resilience, as overcoming adversity, as being exceptional despite the odds. The body is paying a measurable biological price for that performance. It's gone's transformation, stretched over a lifetime.
Man, that completely reframes the word resilience, doesn't it? Like, we use it as a compliment, but the science is saying the resilience itself might be the thing causing damage.
It forces you to ask, resilience to what end? If the system requires superhuman coping just to function within it, then praising the coping without addressing the system is praising someone for surviving and then vow they never agreed to take.
That
hits different than I expected for a Wednesday.
And it connects to the broader finding. The healthy stress cycle is supposed to go activation, effort, completion, restoration, like a heartbeat. But high achievers, across every demographic, every profession, tend to override the early signals. They push past the point where the body is saying time to rest. And because they're successful, they keep getting reinforced for it until burnout appears to hit suddenly. But it wasn't sudden. It was accumulating silently the entire time.
Like you've been leaking stormlight for months and didn't notice because you were winning all the fights.
Exactly. And the nervous system doesn't reset in a weekend. Some hormonal patterns take months to normalize after chronic stress. People with chronic psychological stress show 4-5% higher odds of metabolic syndrome. Even elite track athletes, after 2 hours of recovery from competition, show only partial normalization of their parasympathetic markers. 2 hours of dedicated rest and their HRV is still suppressed.
So the cooldown timer for serious stress isn't 90 seconds of box breathing. It's way longer than that.
The box breathing gets you off the acute spike, but the accumulated load, that's a longer project. And this is where the modern wearable tech story gets interesting. HRV monitoring, through devices like Whoop, Ararat, Apple Watch, has essentially democratized what used to be restricted to military labs and Olympic training centers. Now anyone can see their recovery metrics in real time. Your phone can tell you your leak rate.
We're all getting our own stormlight gauges.
And there are AI-driven coaching platforms now that prescribe recovery protocols based on real-time HRV data. The SEAL's Big Four mental resilience techniques, goal setting, mental rehearsal, self-talk, and arousal control, those were developed after studying why 75% of BUD/S candidates fail. And the answer wasn't physical fitness. Plenty of incredibly fit candidates washed out. The ones who made it had better recovery systems.
Wait, 75% fail, and the difference wasn't who could do more push-ups.
No. The candidates who adapted showed increased DHEA to cortisol ratios. DHEA is this hormone that acts as a stress buffer, and the ratio between DHEA and cortisol basically predicts who completes training. It's your body's built-in measure of recovery capacity. And here's my favorite detail. This ratio is trainable too. It's not fixed at birth. The candidates who made it had, in many cases, developed better ratios through prior training and practice.
So the takeaway is recovery isn't a luxury, it's the actual performance variable.
The thing that separates the best from the rest isn't how hard they can push, it's how fast they can stop pushing.
That's it. That's the whole episode in one sentence. Your stormlight leak rate, your ability cooldown timer, your willingness to sit at the bonfire before the next boss fight. That's the skill that matters. And the 76% of workers who report burnout symptoms right now, that's a recovery deficit at civilizational scale. We've built a culture that rewards activation and treats restoration as laziness.
The whole economy is running without high storms.
And the social media trend of nervous system regulation, the breathing exercises, the cold plunges, the vagal toning stuff, people mock it, but the underlying science is genuinely solid. We covered it tangentially in the meditation episode, but the parasympathetic training angle is real. It's just that scrolling TikTok videos about it probably isn't the most effective delivery method.
This breathing technique will change your life, said, while you're doom scrolling at 1 a.m, which is, you know, the opposite of recovery.
The irony is thick, but I want to land on something specific. The recovery deficit model says healthy functioning is a rhythm. Activation, effort, completion, restoration. And we keep building systems that break the rhythm. Open plan offices. Always on Slack channels. That expectation of responding to emails at 9 p.m. We're not failing at stress. We're failing at the space between stresses.
The silence between the notes.
That's where the music actually lives.
That's beautiful. Did you just come up with that?
Debussy said it first, but I said it with more conviction.
Fair enough. So if there's one actionable thing from today, and we try to have one, it's this. Pay attention to how long it takes you to calm down after something stressful, not how you perform during the stress. How long your body stays activated afterward, that's your actual resilience metric. And if it's taking longer than it used to, that's not weakness. That's your allostatic load account telling you the interest payments are getting unsustainable.
Check your leak rate. Respect the cooldown. Don't take an end value you can't afford.
And sit at the bonfire, even when you think you don't need to. Especially when you think you don't need to.
So what are we getting into next time?
I've been reading about something called proprioception. Your body's ability to know where it is in space without looking. It's basically your sixth sense, and it's real. And when it breaks, you can't walk, can't feed yourself, can't do anything. There was a man who lost all proprioception below his neck and had to consciously think about every single movement for the rest of his life. We're going to talk about the invisible sense that holds your entire physical existence together.
The sense you don't know you have until it's gone.
That's terrifying. I'm in.
That's next time on Clowncast. Thanks for hanging out for 150 episodes, everybody. We'll see you in the next one.
Sit at the bonfire, people. Seriously.